Praise God. So, I've got half an hour. I'm asking you to listen fast this morning. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
If I'm going too fast, you have a chance to listen to it online again. I want to share really quite a bit, and I actually don't really want to spend too much time on what's happening in Africa. If you are on Facebook, it is quite easy to follow the work that I'm doing because it's updated on a regular basis. We have an internet site as well where you can always have a look with the main things that are happening. There's little reports and pictures on that. So you're welcome to look at that. But I quickly just want to share what has happened the last year roundabout. You know, I have an organization that is called Ihr sollt leben, in English, You Shall Live. Because I live, you shall live also. Jesus speaking, John 14:19. This is the reason why I do what I am doing. The main thing is to share the gospel, to share the good news, although we are doing quite a lot of other stuff as well, which you will see just now. Shortly, who of you is in this room that does not know me? Can you just quickly show me that I know how much time I must spend here? Okay, just a few. I am a daughter of Rhema. Woohoo! I am a daughter of God in the first place, but I am also a daughter of Rhema. I belong to this church for quite some time now. I did my first missions trip before I joined Rhema. So I have actually been in South Africa even before I joined Rhema Bible Church and before I became a student at Rhema Bible Training Center. Okay, so I did my first missions trip then. I've been involved ever since. It has never stopped. It's part of who I am. 2003 till 2005, I did RPTC in Bonn, full-time Bible school at that stage still. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you, do it. It will change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, 2005 till 2011, I've been in South Africa pioneering a daycare where we built a daycare center from around about 5 kids that we have without electricity, without water, without a real building. We have built that up in those years up to 75 kids with running water, with electricity, and everything that you need to run a proper daycare. In 2011, I came back to Germany, and I set up the organization here in Germany and did some networking. And I went back to South Africa, maybe some of you remember, last year in September. Okay? So, what has happened? A lot has happened. A lot of good change has happened. It's not been an easy time. It's not been an easy task. But I can stand and testify, which is a good thing. If you remember the PowerPoint that I brought last time, we had basically the continent of Africa, and there was just one point where we've been involved. Now we are expanding, and you can see this is Pretoria. Okay, Pretoria, Tswane, it's the capital of South Africa, and this is where I work. But I don't work in the nice suburbs. I do work in the townships with the poor people, with the poor communities. And there is a lot. So I can also see there is still a lot of work to be done. But we have extended from Hammanskraal, where we are and have been all along, to Mamelodi, which is another township, and to Diepsloot, which is another township. If you think about the people that are living there, we've got between 100,000 and 400,000 people per township. Now, You Shall Live focuses on kids, but you can't imagine how many kids are basically living in those circumstances where we are helping. You also know about the 3 children that we took in already in the years between 2005, I believe, 2004 and 2011, I think the last one joined. These 3 are siblings. They are doing well. We had a struggle with Michael again just when I came. He was quite sick. I prayed a lot. I prayed for God's wisdom, and you also know that we need to use the wisdom that we have. So we trust God for healing, we trust in His power, but we also are not afraid to use doctors, right? So I took him to the clinics, and I took him to the doctors, and those of you that know Africa know it's not so easy, because we have to go to public clinics, not private ones. They are way too expensive. And they really just are not that good in helping you. They send a lot of people away. So if you're not dying, it's fine. You're okay, Moss. So it was a struggle over months, actually, until he was diagnosed with TB again. It's the third time this boy has had TB in his life. He's born HIV positive, for those of you that don't know. He is on medication, and we are trusting this process of healing. We are trusting God, but we are also using medication in this case, okay? So eventually he went on the medication, and from day one, he had lost, he was weighing, he's 14 years old, he was weighing 30 kilos. So in the time since he started taking this medication, he has started gaining weight again. He is at 36.5 right now, praise the Lord. And his recovery was quite remarkable because sickness takes away from your personality. And I could see him withdrawing and getting in this shell. I remember times practically where I've been sitting with him and he was too tired to make it through the day. And what I did is he was halfway asleep and I started reading healing scriptures to him. And I believe that his spirit picked that up because it's also about the will to live. If you're working with sick people, I don't know if people are working in a hospital here, you know that a lot depends on your own spirit. And if your spirit is seeing the worth in life, and I believe that the word of God gives that, the scripture that I'm standing on for Michael is and has always been that God will touch his life and that he will declare the works of the Lord. He will be healed and he will declare the works of the Lord. So keep on trusting and believing with me. The others are doing well. Michael started high school this year. Boosie is her usual self and Cuddly as well. So I don't want to spend too much time really. The baby house. The baby house, also there, quite exciting news. This is just for you to see a little bit how the location looks like. But also there, we have a few changes on the outside. This is a little pathway that was made by hand, where the kids can walk over and touch and basically learn. It is amazing artwork that was basically done by Lisa's brother, if you remember Lisa, that did that. And there in the back, you can see a little bit what also happened in the time that I was there. We started building a jungle gym for the small kids. Okay, there's a huge sand pit where we could also build a roof. It is beautiful. Another thing that we did is that we renovated the kitchen. On the left hand, you can see how it looked like before and how it's looking now. It's much bigger. What actually happened there is in March, a group joined from Bonn, and they were 18 people that we had to cater for. And the kitchen was as big as you can see on the left hand side. So that would have made it impossible to really cater for this group. So God gave the finances and we were able to really do something great. As you can see down there, right, we got a new fridge that's bigger because also you need to put food somewhere. Lots of practical stuff. This is our babies. Oh, I was waiting for, but okay. They are very cute. These kids come from difficult circumstances, difficult backgrounds. A lot of them have basically just been thrown away. Some of them have been put next to the toilet at the police station. One of them was put in a field. One of the boys that you see on this picture has been taken away from his family because the circumstances were not bearable. We don't know any details, but I think everybody can think for themselves what that means, especially in South Africa, where it's not like here. Your child doesn't get taken away because of small things that are happening. Small things. You understand what I mean. But as you can see, there are happy chappies. This is the we had 7 babies running through our program since March 2014. 2 of them have been adopted. They are with forever families, as we call it now. This is good news for us because it is nice that they have a place where they are safe, but eventually you want them to have a father and a mother that can take care of them. So we are happy when that happens, and we let them go, and we trust God that he has the right family with the right parents for them. Okay. This is one of the babies that was adopted. She has a mother, a father, and a big brother now, which is awesome. Also there, she was born HIV positive, on medication, And it is a miracle that those things, that those children get adopted. So I would have never thought that she would be like the first one of the kids that I know that would go to a family. Okay, here's some other work that we are doing outside in the townships. In addition to the jungle gym that we built in the place where the baby house is, we have built 6 jungle gyms with the group of Bonn that was there. 6 jungle gyms, 6 daycares, hundreds of kids playing outside now, which is absolutely fantastic. Another thing that we picked up again is our blanket project. It gets quite cold in the wintertime. We want to make sure that every child has their own blanket, okay, in the daycares. So we did that. Here is a makeover that we did in one of the daycares just to make it more pretty, more child-friendly. Great work. Love it. There is another thing. One of our volunteers brought quite a lot of toothbrushes and toothbrush sets. So we were able to give to our baby house, but then obviously quite a bit to township where the kids can now brush their teeth, which is a good thing because a lot of them just don't. So, okay. Then also what we do is we do the trainings. We had several trainings taking place in the year. One of them is first aid training. You see up there the fire safety training. And then also the ECD training, which you see here, where we train basically everybody that works with kids. A lot of people don't. They do it from their heart, but they don't have any background. They don't study anything, so we give them the opportunity with short trainings to do some of that. Also, we had quite a lot of volunteers again, as you can see. We are really believing in the volunteer program as well. At this stage, this is something new that I would like to tell you. At this stage, the volunteer program has stopped because we are expanding so much. I have taken quite a big decision. I have moved from the premises where I have been in Hammanskraal, and I have moved more to the center of Tshwane, of Pretoria. So I have basically given, in June this year, I have given the project with the baby house and with the Hammanskraal community work, I've given that over to our South African partner organization, Butterflies. You remember Lisa and her organization? Her brother is there now, also with his children, and we have appointed in total, through You Shall Live, and we continue doing that, we have appointed 4 staff members that are taking care of the kids, so I don't have to be physically involved in the daily work anymore. My job at the moment, and there I slowly but surely move over to what I actually want to talk about today, what God told me in 2014, and you can join me to Isaiah, and you will recognize those scriptures because somebody else has been preaching on it. Okay, Isaiah 54. So in October 2014, God has spoken to me from the whole chapter of Isaiah 54. And I'm not going to share everything because I have only 15, 17 minutes left, but God has spoken to me and has said to me what we see in verse 2 in that time, and confirmed it in the past weeks when somebody else, we don't mention names, preached on this scripture. You can find it in Isaiah 54 verse 2, where it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." So God spoke to me, and the fun thing is, when you hear this promise, or when God speaks to you, and it really has become rhema to me, you get so excited, and you are all on fire. But what I've recognized, and I will share some of it with you just now, it's that it's actually quite a process to get there. So you've got the promise on the one side, and we all know how that feels, and it's important because we get vision, and we get the idea of, God, you are so much bigger, and there's just so much more that you want for me. And God wants that for us. God wants that for You Shall Live, for the ministry that I am involved in, but we know since about a few weeks back that God wants that for this church as well. So we need to get a picture of enlargement. We need to get a picture where we see this church filled with people, where we see people that are out there that are lost, that get reached with the gospel by this church. Translated to me, I want to see more kids reached through my ministry. I want to see other places where we are not involved in reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things that happened, for instance, I'm so excited about it because I'm just seeing the beginning of that. When I gave out blankets, very practical thing, you know, a lot of organizations do stuff like that. We are not the only ones, praise God, we're not the only ones. But what happened is I've been there with a pastor, and at some stage they brought us a child, and that child was small, and that child was weak, and they showed us the state of this child. So the obvious response for me as a child of God, knowing my authority, knowing who I am in Christ, is to say, may I pray for this child? And then and there, I started praying for this child. And while I was praying, they started bringing other children. So they started bringing all the children that they are aware of, that there is something wrong. And me and this pastor, we started laying hands on those kids and praying for them. Can you imagine if we have teams doing that? Can you imagine people going out, knowing who they are in Christ, stopping to look at their own little world that they are living in and going beyond that, going out into the world, proclaiming, declaring, laying hands on the sick, and doing what the church is actually supposed to do? So this is what God spoke to me about. This is God, what God, I believe, is saying to you as well in a different context. Because remember, your mission field is where you are at. So even though I'm the missionary in South Africa, you are the missionary right here. So you reach your world. You are called to your world. What is your world? Your world is the people that you are working with. I cannot reach the ones that you are working with. I cannot reach the ones that you are friends with. I cannot reach the family that is maybe living somewhere else, but that you get to see every now and then. That is your job, and you need to get a vision for that. What came out to me, what I felt God speak to me after Monica, and now I said the name, after Monica preached on this, what stood out for me is this one sentence. It says, enlarge the place of your tent, and it goes on, and then it says, and strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. And another translation says, instead of strengthen your stakes, drive your pecs deep. There is another translation that says, thy pins make strong. I believe that God gives us a picture here. And God gives us a picture of two kinds. The one is that I see a picture of the church here. I see a picture of the church where we are supposed to be grounded as the church, where we are supposed to have deep roots, where we are supposed to put our stakes and have them strongly anchored. And I've been thinking about this, and I've been thinking about what that means. Just a side thought, if one peg is loose, remember the picture that Monica gave us. We have a tent, and the tent must be enlarged. So it's not a tent that just stands and that stays the same size. No, you have to go and you have to make it wider. You have to make it bigger. And in order to do that, you have to build strong. You have to build strong. And in order to build strong, you have to put those pegs. You have to make those pins strong. And I believe that talks about us as the body, as us the ones going out. So if we have pegs that are loose, guess what's happening? If there's a peg loose in a tent, somebody showed it like this. First of all the other pegs, and we all know how that feels in the body of Christ, have to carry the weight of the one that is loose. They have to carry that weight. Okay? So we have to make sure that we are strong, all of us, because we have different parts to play in the body. So, yes, we can carry a peg for some time, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. Please, don't. But it is important that we are becoming a strong church. God looks for a church without spot or wrinkle, right? So we have to make sure that we are strong. We have to strengthen our stakes. Another word that is in those verses, again, that I just want to mention quickly, and there I want to get back to what I just said about you shall live as well, and what I said before. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. That's another thing. Do not spare. And I believe do not spare talks about when we make a tent bigger, what do you think is going to happen? The family increases. What else does increase if your family increases? The cost. The cost. And this is something that's very dear to my heart as well. We have to be aware that if we enlarge, that there will be a cost. And I want to ask you, because God has been asking me this question concerning the work that I am doing, are you ready to count your cost and do it anyway? Are you ready to give your life? And the further I go with God and the further, the deeper my relationship with Him gets, it's almost like the more I have to give, the more He examines me, examines my heart. But there is no better place to be. Because if we don't do that, if we don't make ourselves available to this cost, we will not go further. We all want to see it. We all want to see the big crowds coming in. We all want to see the Holy Ghost falling on the people. But are we willing and are we ready to count our cost? Just as I thought, you know? I like it in the English because I believe that part has to do a lot with submission. Big word that nobody really likes. But it's a good word, praise God, because it's a Bible word, submission. And I like it in the English because it has something to do with your mission. So in order to fulfill your mission, you need to learn submission. Submission to what? Submission to God. Submission to His word. That was for free. I want to talk about how to strengthen your stakes, and now you really have to listen fast because I'm almost out of time, 8 minutes. Praise God. How do you strengthen your stakes? How do you strengthen your stakes? Number one, by faith. That was an easy one, right? By faith. By faith in God. And I'm giving you nothing new. A lot of this is repetition, but I really feel that God is speaking to us, and wow, we need this, we need this. We need to trust God. That's what faith is. Trusting God, trusting who He is. Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. We could also say, have faith, have the God kind of faith. Faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So if I repeat some of the stuff that was said already, we are not afraid. We are not afraid of repetition because repetition is the motor of learning. Praise God. Praise God. Again, when God gives you a vision, when God tells you to enlarge, another thing that you need to remind yourself is that it is actually His work. So have faith in Him. It is not you doing this great work. It isn't me doing that great work. It is God. It is His vision. Even though He uses and chooses people and uses and chooses people in different positions, in the end, it is His. So you can trust Him. You can trust Him with this work. It is very important. It is crucial that if we see this, we don't just see the greater plan and the greater vision and where we want to get, but it is very important that we have a personal relationship with Him. Have faith in God. Have a relationship with God. Know Him. Know His power. Know His character. Some of the things we are singing about, and we sang about it this morning, God is good. It's His character. You need to know this because there is an enemy that will try to convince you constantly, and he comes as the angel of light, and you have to know, is this God talking to me? Is it my flesh talking to me? Or is it God? Is it Satan? What is it now? What is it now? And it sounds sometimes so good, you know? And you know, Satan comes and even he came to Jesus, and he came to Eve, and the same areas he is still involved in. He is still using today things like, "Has God really said? Are you sure? Are you sure you have heard from God about this enlarging? Look at this. Look at this. Let's say, look at this room. Where is your enlargement? What are you talking about? Has God really said? And then you start questioning yourself in your flesh and you say, actually, I'm not so sure. If I am hearing God. Maybe I haven't heard right. Maybe I haven't heard right. And it starts with a picture that you need to have. So you need to see those things before you do them. Now I'm a step ahead. Have faith in God. Have your own personal relationship with Him. It's not just about the call. It's about a relationship that you are having with the living God. Without that relationship, this tent will fall. So make sure you have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. Number two, very important to me at this stage because God is busy with that in my own life. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our hearts. I want to go to Proverbs, very well-known scriptures, Proverbs 4. I'm running out of time. Proverbs 4. And I want to read 23 till 27. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. God is interested in your heart. He is not interested in your outside service. He is not interested so much in the tasks that you are doing. Are the tasks important? Are they? Yes, of course. Is it important that you are involved? Yes. But what is God interested in when it comes to those things? Your heart. He is interested in your heart. And I have discovered again, that there is so much that the heart is full of. And we need to make sure it's full of Him and full of His Word. That we have a character that reflects, and I come back to relationship, our Heavenly Father. So guess what? If your Father is good, you should be good. If your Father is gracious, you should be gracious. If your Father provides in all your needs, you should provide in other people's needs. If your Father is faithful, you should be faithful. So if we are looking at the character of God, and I am a child of God, I am a daughter of God, I am a son of God, I should reflect in my character those things. This is where God's heart is. This is where He wants us to grow in. Your heart, let me just define this for you quickly. Your heart, by the heart, I mean the most inner man. Character is something of the heart. It is something that should be developed, refined, increased, and it is a big part of who you are. And this is where God wants to put His finger on, I believe, in this church as well. He wants to put His finger on your heart. And because I know from personal experience, it can be at times a painful process. But we need this because we have limitations. We have walls that we have built up. We have issues in that area that God wants to come and wants to touch. But what is God's goal? Again, when we look back to His character, what is God? He's good. So what does He want for you? Goodness. He wants to be good to you. So if He puts His hand, His finger on those areas of your heart, even though it is a process that is painful, the outcome is good. Because He is a good, good Father. Please do me a favor and allow God to speak to your heart and redefine what needs to be redefined. Grow in the areas where he wants you to grow. And we all have those areas. No one here can tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. God is a healing God. He heals the body. He heals the soul. And he wants to be involved in the development of your character. So open your heart. You know, it is sometimes difficult to let people go to those places. But you can always let God. And he will lead and he will guide you in this process. But allow him, please allow him. If you need help, and you know it, get help. There is people in this church. You know, I sometimes feel like every Sunday we have an altar call. And people don't make use of it. But we all have these issues. We all have problems. We all need this. I need this. If I have a problem, and I've had a lot of hardship as well this past year in Africa, but I made use of the God-given people in my life. I went to the phone, and guess what happened after the phone call? Do you think it made me worse? No, it made me better. It made me better. I prayed with people. People kept reminding me of who I am. Because there are times when you forget who you are. Satan comes, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So let's get back to the body. Let's get help when we need help. And allow God to work on you. Do you see this? Another thing of the character is, many times we say, part of my character, and I'm going to say it again, part of my character is that I am a total introvert. Totally introverted. So when we had to do a subject in Bible school called, what was the name of the subject? Where you learn your outline for your teaching and preaching and... people skills, also good. Homiletics. That's the word. Okay. So I remember sitting in this class and actually saying it out of my mouth. I don't really need this. I want to work with kids in Africa. I don't need to stand in front. I don't like standing in front of people. I hardly like people for that matter. Okay. I didn't say that. This is in the past. So praise God. You can see what I'm doing today. And God is taking me out of my comfort zone. I cannot even tell you. Because I am entering a season, coming back to You Shall Live. I am entering a season where I have to leave again what I know. Working with the kids, being directly involved. To a job description where I have to go out and network with people. People skills. Thank you so much. People skills. So I have to go out and I have to meet with strangers and tell them about the work that I am doing. I have to stand in front of churches and telling them about the work that I am doing. I have to go to strangers and I have to see them, make appointments with them. It is so uncomfortable, so uncomfortable. But I believe that this is my season to step out, and I need to do this because it is the will of God for my life, because it is part of who I am in Christ. So if I want to do the will of God, if I want to run my race, if I want to fulfill my vision and mission, this is what I will have to do. Am I speaking to myself? No, I'm speaking to you. Don't forget that. I'm telling you a little bit about, yes. I'm telling you a little bit about my life to help you, okay? So we are going out and we are fulfilling God's plan, and he works on our character. And the good thing is, he changes us. He changes us to his likeness. So we need to renew our minds, and we need to see the way that he sees. The way that he sees us. I have one more point, and I'm going to be very quick because I'm already 4 minutes over. 1 minute for my last point. The last point is to follow him. Follow him, step by step. Hear his voice. This is also just so important, and I think I'm just going to read it down because my time is... Do not try to make it happen or interpret in the light of the knowledge that you have. What do I mean by that? It is important that we hear from God. Sometimes we get a vision from God, and we have the vision here, but the coming to pass is somewhere down the line. There is a time where something is going to happen in, you know? And sometimes we try to figure God out, and I like to do that, try to figure out how. That's what I would like to know. I wish God would give me a 10-step program of my life. I wish he would tell me and confirm to me and have a prophetic word for me and use Pastor Alex and Monica and Pastor John and Michelle and whoever to just tell me what to do. Guess what? It's not happening. Why? Because the Bible says, and that scripture was mentioned this morning, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And it's not like I have to go to somebody to get the direction that God has for my life. I have to hear for myself. I have to, back to point number one, I have to have a relationship with God and hear him speak to my heart. Point number two. Point number three, follow him step by step. An important thing that I have learned and learning this past year is a nice little slogan almost. You have to let go and let God. That's a nice one. That's a nice one. I think you all know what that means. You have to let go of your own ideas. You have to let go of the way you want things done. And you have to let God. Another point that I'm having in there is don't run ahead. And it's difficult to sit and wait. I know. How do I know? I've experienced a bit of that, quite a bit of that. So don't run ahead. Why? Because the Bible shows us it's not a good idea. If you look at the Old Testament, we have Moses killing the Egyptian, trying to run ahead to fulfill the vision God had for him. We have Joseph blurring out the dream to his siblings, to his family. Not a good idea because what happened afterwards, you all know. Abraham trying to make it come to... Do you see the pattern? You get a vision from God and you want to see it fulfilled and you are so excited and you want to... You want to, and you start running, and you're like, God, are you coming? Bless this plan of mine. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So let's wait until God speaks. Okay, let's finish up. In order to fill what God has for us, we need to strengthen our stakes. We need unwavering faith in what he has said, apart from circumstances. Preparation time. It's never wasted time. Prepare your heart. And we need to follow him. The word says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Amen? Amen. Are we going to enlarge in this church? Yep. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear his voice? Yes. Are you ready to prepare your hearts? Yes. Are you ready to have an intimate relationship with him? Yes. Let's do this. Amen.
Just thank you, Father, for this service. Hallelujah. If there are people in this place, any precious, the Bible calls you the fruit of the earth. If there is any precious person in this place and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, if you do not know this good, good Father, God, the Creator of heaven and earth, as your good, good Father, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the time of decision. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you do know that God is God and he loves you. He loves you. So if you want to know him, you want to meet him, if you want to know Jesus, there are some precious people here who will lead you and show you the scriptures that you need to know to receive Jesus. If you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're a believer in this place, but you haven't tasted and seen how good God is in his power, the power of his Spirit in you, you may also come forward to receive that. There are precious people who love you who will help you with that. Hallelujah. And as Karina said earlier on, if you have anything, do not try to run alone. God is good. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble, and he will help you through the body, through the utterance that you get. It's all truth. They will show you the truth you need to stand on and pray with you with compassion and love. Amen. So who's going to have a great week? Who knows that God is good all the time? He is, He is, He is. Remember, we have coffee now and we have fellowship with the next group that are coming in. And next week, if you're going home now, we have the seminar which starts on Friday. So be there and be blessed, okay?